Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. I want to continue today to talk about the essence of Christianity. Here we are making our way through this season of Lent, and I hope it's been a good Lent for you so far. I hope you've been able to enter into the church's season of penance and repentance and prayer and turning to God. This is not a season where we are supposed to beat ourselves up. It's a season of doing penance, which is what? Things like what? Like fasting, extra prayer, almsgiving, service of various kinds. We're disposing ourselves to the action of God. And through this season, the church teaches us again what's at the center of this drama in history of the passion of Jesus, the paschal mystery of Christ. Why did he come? He came, as we said, to put away sin, talking about this week, to deal with the sin problem. And so in Lent, that's part of what we focus on is the reality of sin. I think sometimes we're afraid to talk. The church seems to be afraid to talk about sin because it's too negative. Let's just be positive because people think about sin, they get discouraged. I mean, I don't think that's at all a Christian mind. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about sin at all. We should. This is a time Lent helps us realize and say, hey, you know what? I'm a son of God. If you're baptized into Christ, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God, but I'm still in a battle against sin. And the letter of the Hebrews says, you know, have you, in your battle against sin, you haven't battled it to the point of shedding your blood. That's what Jesus did. He made war on sin. In the battle of sin, when he came to put away sin, and he experienced temptation like us in every way, and day by day, decision by decision, Jesus won victory over the temptation to say no to God, to turn away from God's plan and purpose, to not walk in his commandments. And ultimately, the two great commandments, to love God and to love neighbor. And Jesus went all the way, and he did it to the point of shedding his blood. And you see, as it's so beautifully put throughout the Gospels and the New Testament, Jesus is so clear that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. And he's not just talking about feelings. He's talking about something deeper. And the way Jesus defines it, it's very clear. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus kept the commandments of the Father. He said, His commandment really is the food. He said, it's the food with which I live. Jesus lives to obey the Father. And he shows us so much in that. He said, this is what it means to be a human being, to be absolutely surrendered to your Creator with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he did it all the way to the cross. He was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. Because the Father commanded him, called him, commissioned him to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin so that you and me and every human being that God created in his image and likeness would have an opportunity to be set free from captivity to sin and the power of death. And so Jesus was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And in the season of Lent, we dial into this passion of Jesus more deeply. And we ask ourselves the question, what is sin? What's death? Why did Jesus die? What does that have to do with my life? And we see, if we're honest with ourselves, that we are battling against sin. Unlike Jesus, we aren't perfect and we fall. And we at times fall to that temptation and say no to God. And then all kinds of dynamics are released in our life. And the church wants to remind us, look, you're in a battle against sin in this world, and it's urgent, and it's of the utmost importance that we see and understand that we're in this battle. We take it seriously. We come out from hiding, and we open our heart to Christ in the sacrament of reconciliation, to those who are around us, who love us, who are accompanying us on the way. And we're honest about sin's hold on us, because what God's after is not to condemn you. I mean, we'll do that ourselves. Our words and our actions are going to condemn us ultimately. If we stay united to sin, clinging to sin, identifying with sin, looking for happiness and hope and freedom in our habit patterns of sin. Our life will be revealed on the judgment day before Christ when we stand before him, and we, as the scripture says, we will condemn ourselves. God will confirm it, and Jesus will say, you know, the sheep this way, the goats that way. But this season is such an important season for the life of the church to come into a place of humility and radical honesty about who we are and where we're at in relationship to God and his commands and in relationship to sin. And God comes to us in mercy and wants to extend through the ministry of the church to each one of us forgiveness. So if you're listening today, no matter where you are right now in relationship to God, no matter what sin you're trapped in, no matter your attitude, if you turn to Christ in mercy, receiving his mercy, if you say yes to him, no games, no hiding, no partial turn, but you just open your heart wide open to him and you tell the truth. You come into the light. You tell the truth about your life. You remember that you stand in need of his mercy, that you can't do this on your own. He'll receive you. He'll forgive you. He'll draw you in. No matter how grave the sin, you go to confession. You honestly repent of your sin from your heart. And the priest in the person of Jesus Christ will absolve you from your sin. It's Christ who absolves you. The priest is just an instrument of an action of God. He's a conduit of God's grace in this particular way because that's what God has called him to and empowered him to do. Don't be afraid of the confessional. Don't be afraid. No one's going to judge you. Priests are sinners too. None of them glow in the dark. Overcome your fear. Overcome your pride. Overcome your vanity. Overcome your indifference. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in this season today to know the sorrow, to know sorrow for your own sin. I've got to pray that all the time because, man, it's easy to not even think about it very much. But Jesus, in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, wants to give us the grace to be able to do that. And Jesus is just dead serious about this, and so is the church. And we need to come into, and hopefully the preaching, the teaching of the church in this season and those who you gather around you, other brothers and sisters are helping you, approach it with a kind of sobriety and sense of urgency. The crazy thing about the way the world works is it's completely indifferent to all of this, and this is the essence of what life's about, right? We've been talking about the essence of things, and so we're living at a time when, you know, the recent popes have talked about it as a crisis in the church, a crisis when the powers of the world and the flesh and the devil are at work to weaken the church, and the compromise of so many in the church is being manifested. I was reading through again an interview that Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI from way back in 1969, in an interview he was talking about, really, he gave a kind of prophetic view of what's happening in the world and why God is permitting it. I want to read some of it to you. I think it's really, it's right on in certain ways. He says, from the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge. A church that has lost much. She will become small and will have to start afresh, more or less, from the beginning. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in her prosperity. Big churches, big buildings. How many across the West, how many buildings are being sold? How many churches are being sold and being used for restaurants or being turned into condos or retirement homes? Because churches are emptying around the Western world in particular. Europe, Canada, and now even the United States, the church is in decline. He goes on, he says, as the number of her adherents diminishes, so will she lose many of her social privileges. You can see that happening. People rejecting the church's position of prominence in the culture, rejecting what she stands for. Her voice is getting smaller and smaller in the political and the social arena. He goes on, in contrast to an earlier age, she will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision, and not just the habit of being automatically brought into in a kind of unthinking way, with an inertia. Everybody's Christian, everybody's Catholic. And to get along in the world and to have a place, this is part of what has to happen, that kind of a deal. Because it's going to be hard again, and it's getting harder, and you know it's going to be more and more difficult to follow Christ. Christianity is not just a historical institution where we punch our card, where we just inherit this and belong to it, but it doesn't mean that much. The Lord's not permitting that anymore. He's allowing the church to be pruned, to be persecuted, to enter into a trial, to purify her. Because so many who have been stamped, who have entered the waters of baptism, so many are living almost as if Christ doesn't exist, and certainly living in what Pope John Paul II used to call a kind of Christian minimalism. And they drift in not so much by a radical free choice and surrender, but with a kind of inertia based on an expectation, but not something deep in your soul that they want. He goes on, he said, as a small society, she, the church, will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members. You can sense that happening. You hear the bishops, I'm thinking of Archbishop Vigner out of Detroit, his letter to the church to say, what's our vision for the next 40, 50, and 60 years? It's a radical call to radical surrender to the person of Jesus Christ and living under his lordship and fulfilling what it means to be a disciple. I belong to another. I don't belong to myself. I live in this world not for my happiness, not for my glory, but I'm living for the King. And I'm called to put God first, manifested in my time, my talent, my treasure, my prayer. I'm called to live in a community, a new family that's radically alive to God. And I give my part. I give my whole heart. And finally, I engage the mission of the church. And it's not an option for me to sit out on the Great Commission to go forth and make disciples of all nations. I'm called to be a disciple maker. He goes on, he said, undoubtedly she will discover new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians. And he says, but in all of the changes at which one might guess will happen, the church will find her essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at her center, faith in the triune God, in Jesus Christ, in the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Holy Spirit until the end of the world. In faith and prayer, she will again recognize her true center and experience the sacraments again as the worship of God and not as a subject simply for liturgical scholarship. The church will be a more spiritual church, not presuming upon a political mandate or flirting with the left or the right. It will be hard going for the church, but for the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the meek. The process will be all the more arduous for the sectarian narrow-mindedness as well as the pompous self-will will have to be shed. In this trial, there will be sifting, the sifting of the past and of the church of its great powers from the past. I want to pick this up tomorrow and go deeper into it because it's my conviction that the trial the church has entered into is a trial of great persecution and pruning so that we get back to the essence of what the church is. And I'm going to talk about why that is tomorrow. I hope you can join me. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.